namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We will read two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service. Text 35. Pasyanti te miruchiranyambasantasanta prasanna vakra runa lochanani rupi rupani divyani vara pradani sakambacham sprihaniyam vadanti. This is Lord Kapila, who is an incarnation of the personality of Godhead, speaking to his mother, Devahuti. He says, O my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent. And they also talk favorably with me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mayavadis and atheists accept the forms of the deities in the temple of the Lord as idols. But devotees do not worship idols. They directly worship the personality of Godhead in his Archa incarnation. Archa refers to the form that we can worship in our present condition. Actually, in our present state, it is not possible to see God in his spiritual form, because our material eyes and senses cannot conceive of a spiritual form. We cannot even see the spiritual form of the individual soul. When a man dies, we cannot see how the spiritual form leaves the body. That is the defect of our material senses. In order to be seen by our material senses, the Supreme Lord accepts a favorable form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha, sometimes called the Archa incarnation, is not different from him. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead accepts various incarnations, he takes on forms made out of matter, clay, wood, metal, and jewels. There are many Shastric injunctions that give instructions for carving forms of the Lord. These forms are not material. If God is all-pervading, then he is also in the material elements. There is no doubt about it. But the atheists think otherwise. Although they preach that everything is God, when they go to the temple and see the form of the Lord, they deny that he is God. according to their own theory, everything is God, then why is the deity not God? Actually, they have no conception of God. The devotee's vision, however, is different. Their vision is smeared with love of God. As soon as they see the Lord in his different forms, the devotees become saturated with love. For they do not find any difference between the Lord and his form in the temple, as do the atheists. The smiling face of the deity in the temple is beheld by the devotees as transcendental and spiritual, and the decoration of the body of the Lord is very much appreciated by the devotees. It is the duty of the spiritual master to teach how to decorate the deity in the temple, how to cleanse the temple, and how to worship the deity. There are different procedures and rules and regulations that are followed in temples of Vishnu. And devotees go there and see the deity, the Vigraha, and spiritually enjoy the form because all of the deities are benevolent. The devotees express their minds before the deity. And there are many instances in which the deity also gives answers. But one must be a very elevated devotee in order to be able to speak with the Supreme Lord. Sometimes the Lord informs the devotee through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. Kapila Muni is explaining how the devotees see the decorated body and face of the deity and how they speak with him in devotional service. So, one incident which is related in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita very nicely illustrates the difference between the attitude of the devotee towards the deity and the attitude of the atheist. This story is narrated in relation to the deity who became known as Shakshi Gopal. In this narration, an elderly and aristocratic Brahmin went on pilgrimage, ultimately to Vrindavan. And a younger Brahmin accompanied him and served him along the way. When they arrived in Vrindavan, the older Brahmin told the younger one that, "I am very much obliged to you for your care of me, and I would like to give you something." The younger Brahmin replied that, "I have served you as my duty, and I have been happy to serve you. You don't have to give me anything." But the older Brahmin insisted that, "No, I want to give you something. I want to give you the hand of my daughter in marriage. So the younger Brahman, who was not from such an aristocratic or wealthy family, had some doubt whether the older Brahman's family would accept the arrangement. And he said, please do not promise me your daughter because your family may object. He said, no, I'm going to give you the hand of my daughter in marriage. And to confirm his promise, he repeated the promise in front of the deity of Gopal. So eventually the two returned home in Orissa. And the older Brahmin went to his home and the younger Brahmin went to his. And some days passed, he didn't hear anything from the older Brahmin. Meanwhile, the family members of the older Brahmin were very upset because they felt that the younger Brahmin was not so aristocratic or wealthy or educated, and that he was not a proper match for their daughter. They could not appreciate the devotion of the younger Brahmin. They were judging him simply from the material point of view. And it was one of those domestic dramas where the mother threatened to commit suicide if her daughter was given in marriage to the poor Brahmin. And so it went on like that. But the younger Brahmin, he wasn't so interested that he should get the girl in marriage, but because the older Brahmin had promised in front of the deity, he was concerned that he should keep his promise. So he went to the house and, you know, all the other family members were very upset. And the son of the older Brahmin, he made up a story that the younger Brahmin had given his father some drug and was trying to steal from him, and you know, under the influence of the drug, forced his father to promise his sister or whatever. And the older Brahmin, he remained silent. And the younger Brahmin knew within his heart the older Brahmin wanted to keep his word. But he was sort of in the clutches of his family members. So then the younger Brahmin had an idea, because he knew that the son was an atheist, exactly like Srila Prabhupada described in the purport. He thought that the deity is nothing but stone. So the younger Brahmin said that the deity of Gopal in Vrindavan was the witness to your father's promise. So if the deity Gopal bears testimony that your father promised your sister in marriage to me. Will you accept it? And if he doesn't give witness, then we will leave it. We will leave it. So the son thought, oh, well, this is great, because the deity, how can the deity bear witness? So he said, yes. They said, okay, so they called all the villagers, and they announced, this is the arrangement. If the deity comes and bears witness, then the older Brahmin will give his daughter's hand in marriage to me. And if the deity doesn't give evidence, then you can punish me however you want. So the young Brahmin went back to Vrindavan, to the deity of Gopal, and he appealed to him that, Gopal, you were the witness to the Brahmin's promise, so now you have to come and give testimony. So the deity replied, I'm just a deity. Oh yeah, how can I get to Orissa? It's so far away. So the young Brahmin said, well, you can just follow me. The deity said, but I'm just a deity. How can I walk? And the young Brahmin said, well, if you can talk, you can also walk. The deity replied, yes, that's a good point. They said, okay, I will follow behind you, and by the sound of my ankle bells, you'll know that I'm behind you. But if you, like, have some doubt and you turn around to and look at me, then I won't move any further. So like that, they walked all the way from Vrindavan to Orissa, to very close to the older Brahmin's house. And then the younger Brahmin turned around and he saw Gopal, and Gopal stopped there. So then he called all the villagers, and everyone was astonished that how could the deity have reached there. And the villagers took it as testimony that the older Brahmin had made this promise in front of the deity, and so he gave his daughter's hand in marriage to the younger Brahmin. So that deity became famous as Sakshi Gopal, the witness Gopal, and there's a temple to Sakshi Gopal in Orissa. So this is just one example of many in which the deity speaks, the deity appears in the devotee's dream. Another example was of Madhavendra Puri, when he... Well, there are many examples. But very briefly, when he came to a place in Orissa called Remuna, there was a temple of a deity named Gopinath. And in that temple, the kheer that they offered to Gopinath was very famous. And Madhavendra Puri, he had his deity at Govardhan. In fact, that deity came to him in a dream and told him that he was being worshipped at Govardhan, but when the Muslims came to attack, the pujaris hid him in the bushes. He said, since then I've been lying in the bushes and I'm very uncomfortable. So please, in the morning, organize a party and take me out of the bushes. So he did, and he established that deity at Govardhan Hill. That deity subsequently went to Nathadwara and is worshipped there as Srinathji. But the deity was originally discovered by Srila Madhavendra Puri. So he wanted to get sandalwood pulp and camphor to rub on the deity, his deity, at Govardhan. And those precious ingredients were available in Jagannath Puri. So he was walking from Vrindavan to Puri, and at Ramuna he came to the Gopinath temple. And he thought that this kheer is very famous. Actually, he had a vow. He would never make any effort to get food. If food came to him, he would accept it. Otherwise, he would not make any effort to get food. And if he got no food, he would just take a little rest and on an empty stomach. So while he was in the temple, he had a thought, just a slight thought, that if I can taste that kheer, I can make the similar preparation for my deity of Gopal. But as soon as he had that fault, he wasn't thinking for himself, he was thinking for his deity. But as soon as he had that thought, he condemned himself that I'm such a sinful person, such a lusty person, I'm thinking of tasting kheer. And he left. He was disgusted with himself and he left the temple. So that night, the pujari had a dream. And in the dream, Gopinath told him that there is a great saintly person, devotee named Madhavendra Puri, and I have kept a pot of sweet rice for him. When you were taking away the offering, I hid that sweet rice behind the curtain. So you should get up and take bath and come into the deity room, and if you look behind the curtain, you'll find the pot of sweet rice. And then I want you to take the sweet rice into the marketplace and where Madhavendra Puri was resting and announce, you know, will the devotee named Madhavendra Puri please come. The deity of Gopinath stole, of course everything belongs to him, but he stole that pot from the pujaris for Madhavendra Puri. And so that deity got the name Chir Chor Gopinath, the deity who stole the sweet rice from Madhavendra Puri. So then, after this incident, Madhavendra Puri thought, now, you know, the news will spread that the deity stole the pot of sweet rice for me, and everyone will think I'm a great devotee and they'll want to honor me, and that they'll gather around me, and so he decided he must escape before the news spreads. So he went to Jagannath Puri, but as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, the reputation of the devotee follows him wherever he goes. And there he arranged the sandalwood and camphor for his deity. And these were controlled items under the government. So there were a lot of formalities and a lot of checkpoints, and he had to pay taxes. And it was quite an endeavor, and it was hot. It was very hot. So when he got to Ramuna on his way back, his deity of Gopal appeared to him in a dream. And he said that Gopinath and I are not different. So if you prepare sandalwood paste and camphor and smear it on the body of Gopinath, that will cool my body. So Madhavendra Puri told the pujaris about his dream, and they were very happy because Madhavendra Puri would stay with them, and they were also happy that every day they could smear the body of Gopinath with sandalwood pulp and camphor. So like this, there are many instances in which the devotee spoke with the deity spoke with the deity appeared in the devotee's dream. So we may not have such elevated dealings with the deity yet, but we can have very sweet reciprocation with the deity. And in the next verse, Srila Prabhupada explains how even a neophyte devotee can become absorbed in the deity and thus be liberated just by being absorbed in the deity. So this is text 36.
Tardarshaniya vayavarudara vilasaha sekshita vamasuktai hritatmano hritta pranams cha bhaktir anichato me gatiman vim prayunte.
Translation. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are three divisions of devotees: first class, second class, and third class. Even the third class devotees are liberated souls. It is explained in this verse that although they do not have knowledge, simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed in thought of him and loses all other consciousness. Simply by fixing oneself in Krishna consciousness, engaging the senses in the service of the Lord, one is imperceptibly liberated. So there's quite a good discussion of this in the purport, but I will leave it to you to read that because I'm not sure how long the offering will take. But we want to finish when the offering is ready, because of obvious reasons. So I'll just read the last part of the purport, which adds a new point. It refers to the word vilasa, the Lord's pastimes. Now, how do we partake of the Lord's pastimes? Here, the word vilas is very important. Vilas refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. Now, listen to this. This is very important. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only should one visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. Actually, there's a story that one dacoit, he was hearing the recitation about Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, how their beautiful forms were decorated with very precious ornaments of gold and jewels. So he thought, let me go to Vrindavan and I'll find these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, and I'll steal their jewels. So he went to Vrindavan, and by the Lord's arrangement he was able to see them. So, you know, he thought they're just little children, and they reciprocated. They're just little children. So he said, oh, you boys, you're wearing all these ornaments. They must be very heavy for you to carry around. You just give me those ornaments and I'll give you some nice sweets. So they said, you know, we want to give you our ornaments, but we have to ask our mother's permission first. Otherwise, they might get angry at us and we'll be in trouble. So like this, Krishna and Balaram played with this thief, and eventually he became captivated by Krishna's beauty and he gave up his stealing propensities and became a pure devotee. But that's the idea, that even an ill, someone who's not very literary, that you can just hear the talks in the temple. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may remain always absorbed in the thought of the Lord, His form, His activities, and His transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated stage. Like Srila Prabhupada said, by reading the Krishna book, you're liberated. When you're reading the Krishna book, you're liberated. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended 5 important processes in the discharge of devotional service. 1. To chant the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
To associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. 3. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. 4. To see the decorated temple and the deity. And 5, if possible, to live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These 5 items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita and here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The third class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation is accepted in all Vedic literatures. So definitely there were times this evening when you forgot everything else, and so you were in a liberated state. And even now you could be in a liberated state. You probably are. I'm sure you are. So if one is able to come to the temple and hear the discourses, that is ideal. But otherwise, at home, the family members can gather and you can read and discuss and fulfill this requirement of temple worship at home. So, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Mahaprabhu Das.
You said just now that one should read, one should hear Bhagavatam. So many times people think that Maharaj has asked us to read, to hear Bhagavatam. So they go to many Bhagavatam Saptah, and that's the way many people.
Well, what would you like to say about it? No, he's making a very good point. He's saying that, okay, I'm saying that they should hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's saying on that basis they go here and there to hear Bhagavat Saptaha. And he asked me, what do you think about that? So I asked him, what do you think about it? If you can speak loud enough.
You empowered me to speak that day.
I empower you with loudness. I'm not responsible for the content. No, I'm sure it'll be.
Srila Prabhupada said it.
Good, son.
I make it short that milk touched by a serpent cause poisonous effect. If you are hearing kathas from the people who are not coming in parampara and they are giving their own interpretation, as most of the people who are doing Bhagavad Saptah to earn money, then that type of hearing Bhagavatam Katha, it's very dangerous. Actually, that will not help in spiritual life, but that will reduce your progress. Because though Katha is wonderful, but just like milk is wonderful, but if milk is touched by serpent, it causes poisonous effect. You know, many people go to kathas. They are going regularly for last 50 years or many times. But see, they are getting more and more involved in Maya, family life, self gratification, all those things. But if you hear katha, as Srila Prabhupada has suggested, in parampara, then by that method, we will make a spiritual progress and we can see the devotees who have come in Hare Krishna movements for in a short time, they made spiritual progress. Otherwise, we don't make any progress and it becomes like a ritual and no spiritual progress.
When Srila Prabhupada sent a few of us early devotees who on his order went to Vrindavan to his rooms at the Radha Damodar temple, he wanted us to go through all of his old belongings there, and there were letters that he had written from before he went to America. And in one letter he was asked to attend a Bhagavat Saptaha, and Srila Prabhupada, he very strongly criticized that idea, because the Bhagavatam says Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, should always be hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, not for 7 days. And he said, not only will I not attend your Bhagavat Saptaha, but I will tell everyone I know that they also should not attend. So, yeah, this is parampara. I remember on one morning walk on Juhu Beach. She was a nice lady. She was a doctor. Very friendly to Srila Prabhupada and sympathetic to ISKCON. But she had gone to some Gita, you know, whatever, Gita Gyan Yagya or some whatever. And so she met Srila Prabhupada on Juhu Beach. We were walking one way and she was walking the other way, and she said, "Oh Prabhupada, I heard the most wonderful discourse on the Bhagavad Gita last night." So Srila Prabhupada said, "What did you learn from that discourse?" And she said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm so unfortunate, I can't repeat anything that I heard last night." And Srila Prabhupada said, "Not only you are unfortunate, but everyone who attended the discourse is unfortunate." So, yes, it didn't come in these particular purports, but it's a very regular theme that one should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the right source. From the right source means from a pure Vaishnava. Coming in parampara. Any other questions or comments?
If we are going out station, then what is recommended? Some people say before that you need to sleep. What is exactly recommended? Do you take them along with you, or you keep them, or you leave them with some other devotee to take care of? So what is
Yeah, he's saying that sometimes you have deities, but then you have to go out of station, so what should you do then? And he himself mentioned three appropriate courses of action. One, if you can, is take the deities with you and continue your worship of the deities in your travels. The other is to entrust the deities to some qualified devotee who can worship them in your absence. And the third is to put them to rest temporarily. So it would really depend on many factors which of the three is the most appropriate, but if you can carry them with you and maintain some standard of worship, that's the best. And then probably next best would be to entrust them to some qualified devotee to worship in your absence. But again, depending on the situation, putting them to rest isn't the best usually. Be better to work on the other two. But you can, if it comes to that, you can put them to rest, but that's not such a good one. Hare Krishna.
One more question on the same deity, because worship is very important, because sometimes it's very difficult. You know, it's very easy. It was a custom to have deities. So I can understand, so after 7 years, now these deities are, you know, you have given permission, you are installing these. But usually people are just bringing deities and without following any system, because it's going on. They don't do properly puja, don't prasad, not do anything. And then they say, what we can do? After all, the ladies have problem 2 days in the month, and then they have to go out for program or this or the evening. So it's a very, very difficult situation.
There is another verse in purport I thought of reading. I did read it once 2 years ago or so, just about how regular the worship has to be and what the standard is. It's true, it shouldn't be cheap. I quoted this story that a few years, well, 2011, there was a big festival in the Philippines, and Krishna Kshetra Prabhu, who was like an authority on deity worship in ISKCON, he gave a seminar on deity worship. And someone asked the question, what's the minimum standard that we have to maintain to get deities? And he replied, Just look at that question. He's thinking, what is the minimum I can do? You should be thinking, what's the maximum? But from the beginning, you're thinking, what's the minimum? It's completely backwards. But a lot of it is like that. It's, but here they have sort of joint family. The father and mother are living with the son and daughter-in-law. So there, they said that they were going to all contribute, and the mother has time. She has time, she said. So, but I mean, it's like Prabhupada said, as yaya tam mam prapat, as you surrender to Krishna, as you approach Krishna, he reciprocates. So if you think, oh, he's just a stone statue, he won't complain if I don't do this or don't do that. Well, in a way, he won't complain, but his complaint will come in the form of your falling further down in devotional service. So, yeah, this atheism, I mean, Prabhupada's talking a lot about atheists because there are so many atheists around, but we also have that in us, that atheist, it's just stone, it's just a stone statue, doesn't matter. If I don't bow down, what will the deity say? You know, if I don't offer nice flowers, you know, if I'm late, the deity won't complain. Thinking that underneath it's just stone, but it's serious. It's serious. Yeah. We had a sort of interesting talk with Padmanabh Goswami of the Radharaman Temple in Vrindavan, because we were shocked. One of the most sacred places, holy places in Vrindavan, the owner means the descendant of the original worshippers, he wants to sell it. It's like as a commercial, you know, like sell it to some builder. He wants people to forget that there was ever such and such holy place there. So Padmanabh Goswami said, used three words, vigraha, agraha, and kalagraha. So first generation, it's the vigraha, it's Krishna. They know it's Krishna, they worship the deity as Krishna. Then somewhere along down the road, some generation, it's agraha. Our forefathers installed this deity. It's their order. It's the agraha. We must continue the worship. And then a little further down the line, it's kalagraha. Like burden. Or is it Galagraha? Anyway, I think maybe. Huh?
Burden.
Yeah. It's a burden. Oh, we're stuck with this burden. We have to wake up the deity. We have to dress the deity. We have to offer food to the deity. This is just a burden. So that happens, according to Srila Prabhupada, when people become lax in following the regulative principles. If they follow the regulative principles strictly, then they have that enthusiasm to serve the deity. Regulative principle means like these chanting the holy names, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, of course all the regulative principles. But if they don't follow the regulative principles, then it becomes a burden. So, yeah. You have to keep strong and fresh. By association. So, the deity has revealed to me that it is ready for arti. Through the pujari, I must admit. Through the hand gestures of the pujari. So thank you very much. It is a joyous occasion, and you are all liberated. And we just want you to stay on that liberated platform. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai.